We're looking at the road to the resurrection. We're coming up to Resurrection Sunday, leading up to that great day of the resurrection. I want to bring out several things this morning if I can. I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing. Luke 24, we have the great story told, really unveiled for us of all that took place after Jesus Christ has been crucified and they took his body down, you know the story, and put him in that borrowed tomb and put him there, put the stone upon it, and really just dusted their hands of this man who claimed to be the Messiah. Notice chapter 24 though, verse 1, notice now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, notice this, how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they remembered his words. We'll pause there in our reading this morning to think about the road to the resurrection. It fascinates me that not one person in all of the great entourage of Jesus and all the followers of Christ, not one person stood up and said, hey, don't worry, remember what he told us? Not one. Hey, don't worry, remember he'll come again. He's not dead. He said he'll rise again. Not one person. Why? Because they failed to hear the word of God. They failed to hear. Now think about this morning. There's a place for the believer, and we should follow the word of God. And yet we're going to see in a minute that these people failed to understand the scriptures. They failed on their road to the resurrection. I'm reminded of the little old ladies driving in the car, and they went on a road trip. And there was four of them, four little old ladies driving in the vehicle. And they were cruising down the highway, and sure enough, she looked in her rearview mirror, and there was those red and blue lights. And she pulled over, and it was a state trooper. And he looked, and he came up, and he said, ma'am, how you doing today? She said, just fine, son, just fine. And he said, license and registration, please. She handed him all the documents, and he went back to his vehicle, came back, and said, now, ma'am, I pulled you over because you're going far too slow on the highway. She said, oh, I am? She said, I was doing the speed limit. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, you were going 40 miles an hour. She said, I thought that was a speed limit. He said, no, ma'am, you're on I-40. That's the road. And he looked in the back with the three other ladies, and their eyes were this big. And he said, ma'am, what in the world's wrong with your passengers? She said, well, that's probably because we just got off of I-125. So how many have been behind a little old lady like that? Okay, I got behind an old fellow the other day, and boy, he was hustling. I mean, he was flying down the highway, and I thought, I like this guy right here. You think about this now today, that these individuals failed to understand what Jesus said. Now, I want to say this very clearly again, that the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to look at this over the next several weeks, the resurrection of Christ is everything to us as Christians, everything, because it validates everything Jesus said, doesn't it? If he didn't rise from the dead, Paul says, we are nothing. We are wasting our time. We're a laughing stock of the world. Okay? Jesus rose from the dead. He validated everything he said, everything he preached, everything he promised, all of it. And my friends, today, although we have many skeptics and many people that doubt it, there's still an empty grave today. And I believe very soon Jesus is going to come back. I know you believe that as well. Several things here, let me get into it, and then I'll let you go home today. Number one, I want you to notice the preparation. The preparation. I picked out, as I was studying through this chapter 24, I picked out all of the P words. All the words started with P. Very interesting. Now notice the first one, the preparation. The preparation. Now, as they took his body down in chapter 23, they went home and began to prepare the spices that they would eventually anoint the body with. Now, if you know anything about this, they would take olive oil and maybe something else, a different type of oil, and they would add to it certain spices for medicinal use, and they would use it as a salve or something on their body like we would do today. but they also used it in another way to put upon the body of the deceased in order to mask a lot of the odor of a decaying body. And they would do that, and they would take time. They would put the spices in the oil or whatever it was, and then they'd put it in a container and let it marinate a little bit for the next couple days. And that's what they did. And now they come the first day of the week. Now keep in mind, they did not come with the intention and mindset that Jesus would be gone. They were coming, what? To anoint the body of their friend, not their Messiah. Their friend, their son, their cousin, their brother, they crucified, put him in the grave, and they came out of respect as family members to anoint his body. How many believers are like that today? They did not listen to the word of God. I want to say this, number one, they prepared for the wrong thing. You and I can prepare for the wrong thing if we're not careful. They were preparing to anoint the dead body of the man who claimed to be the Messiah, except they believe now it's all gone. They killed him. See, Jesus Christ came into the city just days before, and he rode in on that donkey, didn't he? And they came out and put palm branches and leaves down on the ground for that horse or that colt, that donkey, to ride into town, just as the prophecy was given in the Old Testament. And they shouted out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest." And what were they saying? If you've studied that before, they were saying, here comes Jesus to overthrow the Roman government and take and rule and reign. They missed something. They didn't follow the scriptures. Because if they would have followed the Old Testament, they would have clearly seen that he had to come the first time as a suffering lamb and then a second time as a roaring lion. Now, we're still waiting for that second time. And let me tell you something, don't you forget, he is coming back and he is a roaring lion and he's going to handle business. And I hope you're on the right side. Okay, we're on the winning side. I like one pastor put it, we're on the side that wins. So remember that. I talked to one person recently and they were so upset and worried about everything and what are we going to do and what their economic crisis that's coming and the elections. And I said, hang on. Don't forget to read the last chapter of the Bible. Okay, that'll help you. That'll encourage you to remind you of where you are. See, they were preparing for the wrong thing. And now they took that man that they believed who was going to rule and reign, and they watched him be arrested, and they watched him be mocked and beat and spit upon and treated like an animal and hung upon a cross to die. And his mother stood at the foot of the cross, and the apostle John stood at the foot of the cross, and they wept. Why? Because they didn't understand what was happening. We thought you were the Messiah. The people walked by, the priests, the religious leaders, if you will, walked by and they wagged their heads. If you're really the Messiah, you come down off the cross. You said that you would rise again. You said that you could heal yourself. And Jesus said, you're going to tell me one day, physician, heal yourself. Meaning they didn't understand. Now think about this. They prepared for the wrong thing. Let me make a statement and you should write this down. It is my duty to prepare for that which is inevitable. It is my duty to prepare for that which is inevitable. Now, that's a principle of life, but it's a principle that they got out of the scriptures. Solomon writes repeatedly in the book of Proverbs, and he talks about preparing. Remember, he says, the man that prepares, he works all summer, he harvests, he goes, puts it in the storehouse. When winter hits, he's not sitting around going, what are we going to eat? The lazy man, the unprepared man or woman, comes around when the weather hits like this and they go around to all the neighbors. Hey, can I borrow some bread and butter? My kids don't have anything to eat. Well, what were you doing all summer? It is my duty to prepare for that which is inevitable. Number one thing that's inevitable in the human life is death and taxes. No, death. It's coming. I don't want to think about it. It's morbid to watch movies about it. It's sickening to think through some of that, but it's going to happen. Nobody lives forever. Now you prepare for that. Jesus says in John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you. He's not up there building mansions for us and then going, oh, I changed my mind. Never mind. No, he will come again. He is preparing for us. We are to be prepared. There's other things in life. Your kids are going to grow up, get married, and leave the house. Again, I said, please pray for me. I have 5 daughters and 5 weddings to pay for. I am taking donations at this time. I'm trying to prepare for that day. I joked with the people in California and I said, I got some good news. And they said, what is it? I said, we finally had the boy. And they, oh, wow, yay. You think about now, we're prepared for that day. Are you prepared for it? Are you prepared? Your body's going to deteriorate. Your body's going to break down. Are you prepared for those times? Are you working to bring your body to where it should be, maybe by way of health and other things, but more importantly, spiritually? And let me say this, are you prepared for that great judgment day? The Bible says we will all stand before Jesus Christ, and we will all give an account for this life. As you know, we studied this before, but Paul makes it clear. He says, all of us will put upon a tray everything we did in this life. There will be wood, hay, and stubble, and there will be gold, silver, precious stones. Gold, silver, precious stones represents the things you did for Christ. Wood, hay, and stubble represent money and things. And it says we're going to pass that tray over the fire, and that wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up instantly, isn't it? And for many people, they'll have just a little itty-bitty little portion over here of gold, silver, precious stones. Are you prepared for that day? Only when life will soon be past and only what's done for Christ will truly last. They prepared for the wrong thing. You and I can work tirelessly to prepare for the wrong thing. Working to make money, working to better ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to provide for our families. But you need to emphasize in your life and prioritize your walk with the Lord. Your walk. Number one, are you saved? Do you know that for sure? One of the things I love doing is sharing the gospel with people. I'd love to take the Bible and show you that. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, he says, we can't even imagine the things God has prepared for them that love Him. We can't even understand it. What God has prepared for us, for those His children, the ones that love Him, that know Him, that know His voice, God has more prepared for you than you could ever even tap into. I like the story told by one man. He said that he had a dream one time and he got to heaven and he was walking around and Peter was walking him around heaven, showing him everything. And he says, hey, Peter, where's my mansion at? Oh, he says, oh, you're down on, Gold Street Lane. And he took him down there and showed him his mansion, gave him the keys to it. Wow, this is great. He walked into the mansion and he walked around, looked at all the bedrooms and he saw a door there. It was a red door. And he said, what's this red door? He opened it up and looked inside, and it was hundreds of things stacked up, all kinds of treasure. He says, what's all this? He says, this is all the stuff you didn't ask for. This is all the stuff you didn't ask for. All that God has prepared for them that love Him. My friends, today, are you prepared? There's always a prepared place for the prepared person. Always. We found this out pretty quickly. We went on our little vacation last week, and we decided to go to a theme park. And of course, when you go to the theme park, you have to spend money on just about everything. You pull up, the first thing you pull up, and they have a little booth. And they say, what kind of parking do you want? Do you want the $55 parking or the $35 parking? And you scratch your head for a minute. Well, it's not much more. I guess I'll do the $55. Good choice, sir. Swipe the card. Or now it's tap the card, boop. You pull in and you get in there and you get in and you get in the elevator. You go down, you get on a little train, and they take you into the theme park. And you get into the theme park and you come to another booth. How many tickets do you want? Well, how much are they? And they tell you, and it's completely ridiculous. But then you look at the kids, and the kids go, oh, please. Okay, tap it again. And you get into the theme park, and you go inside, and then the first thing there, they're smart. The first thing you have to walk through is the gift shop to get in and get out. And you walk through the gift shop, and they're looking around, and they got the lollipops that are this big. How many know what I'm talking about? And the girls last night, I bought them those lollipops because they were begging me, and they got into them. They weren't supposed to. They got into them last night, and they had it blue and purple all over their face. I said, what are you doing? Nothing. I said, it's all over your face. And they were hyper, wouldn't go to sleep. And then you get into the park, and you, of course, now you're hungry. It's a long day, and you go over, and I saw, as I said before, but they got corn dogs. I thought, corn dogs, okay, that's good, not bad. I got up in line, and you wait in line. Everything's got a line, everything. And you wait in line, and 20 minutes, I finally get up to the front. Corn dogs, $12. I said, for one corn dog? Yes, sir. Do I get chips with that? No. Chips and a drink? Here you go, $20. My goodness, you keep going on. Well, we got in there, and at one theme park, we went to another one. And we got up to the booth and did all that, parked, paid for parking, got up there. And they said, sorry, sir, we're sold out today. The park is full. And when the park is full, we can't allow anybody else in the park. We said, you got to be kidding me. Nope. And then that moment I thought, we didn't prepare. We should have prepared. We kind of went off the whim and said, hey, let's all, last minute, let's go over to this theme park. We shouldn't have done that. We should have gone online and gotten our tickets and done it the right way. But there's always a prepared place for the prepared person. You and I should be prepared. Now they come to this place, and notice verse 2 again. And they found the stone rolled away. Now in another gospel, you remember what happens. The ladies are walking up to this before they even get there. Remember, it's the break of day, so it's still dim. It's kind of dark. And you remember the conversation they had. They had this, and they said, who's going to roll the stone away for us? Isn't that just like us? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? I don't think it'll ever work. I don't know if it's ever going to work out. Every day, right? Worry, 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 fear. And as they round the corner, what? I have no idea. How are we going to do it? And they look up and the stone's out of the way. Okay. It's already out of the way. See, they found. To find something, you need to be searching for it. These women that come had enough faith to come forward. And they said, you know what? We don't understand everything, but we're going to go forward. I want to remind you, God is always found of them that seek Him. When you seek after the truth, as all of you in here can attest to, when you seek after the truth, you always find Christ. He's never hiding. A lot of people believe this. Oh, God is hiding. He's hard to find. It's this mystical thing. I got to break the code, try to figure out where God is and what His will is for my life. Wrong. It's in fact, the Old Testament says it's in our face. He later goes on to say, God is very nigh you. Means He's very close to you. Where's the problem lie then? It's with me. If God is always here, God is always working, God is always trying to push me and prod me to go in His will and His direction, there must be a common denominator, and it's me. I'm the one that is resistant to that. Now think about that. Verse number 4, let's continue. And it came to pass as they were much, here's the second P word, perplexed. Underline that in your Bible. They were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. And here it is. Here's the rebuke. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. Now Jesus on at least three occasions spoke this to the people. He said to the apostles, He said to the followers, He said to some of His family members, He says, they're going to take me, they're going to crucify me, arrest me, crucify me, and they're going to put me in a grave, but don't worry, I'll rise again. None of them listened. None of them listened. Perplexity happens, and this word perplexed literally means to be confused. When confusion sets in, perplexity sets in, you and I must come back to the Word of God. It says they remembered His words and returned. They remembered. You and I can be confused about a lot of things. I don't know about you, but I'm confused often about what God is doing in my life. I don't know what He's doing. I don't understand it. I don't get why we bicker about the same thing all the time. Are you like that? Why are we arguing yesterday? Same thing. One just over something little, silly, downright stupid. Pardon my language. Bicker over the same thing. You ever do that? You argue over certain things. You sometimes go through the same things over and over again. And then there's the much worse case scenarios where some of you today are dealing with cancer or heart disease or arthritis, diabetes, other things. Some of you have, dear people, have lost a child. We can't explain some of those things, can we? I have no way. And again, I say this before, but people will come to me, Pastor Tim, why? Why? And they want an answer from me, and I can't give them an answer. I just point them to the Word of God, and I say, we've got to seek the Lord in this situation. We've got to seek God's will. You have to trust in a loving God. You have to trust in your Lord. But notice he's perplexed. And they say, we don't know what's happening. We don't understand it. And when you're confused, except you're seeking Him. Now remember that. If you're confused, continue to seek Him. Continue to inquire, Lord, why? Notice what happens. He always reveals to you the truth. And usually it's just simply remembering what the Word of God says. Lord, why? We want this detailed answer. Lord, give me the exact reason why. Years ago, I went through a period of time, 2 or 3 years it seemed to be, where nothing could go right. You ever have those periods of time? Everything was failing. Nothing was going right. Just going through a real difficult season. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why? Why? Why is this happening? Is there something wrong? Is there sin in my life? Are we doing something wrong? And I never got an answer. And to this day, I see some things that God was doing and how He was directing us and orchestrating some things in our life, but still He's not given me a definitive answer. And there's a lot of things in life that we just have to trust Him. But if you'll continue to seek Him in His Word, He'll show you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. But Paul makes reference to this and he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, in that context, if you know what he's talking about, he gives a list of all the stuff they're going through. They've been beaten and whipped and imprisoned. In fact, Paul was left dead on at least two occasions. They stoned him to death. He was there dead. They walked away. He stood up, dusted himself off, shook his head, and let's keep on going. And he says, in all of that, one of the things is, he says, is that we're often perplexed as we're serving God. We're often confused. And you can imagine Paul, the greatest Christian probably to ever live, and he was confused about some things. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to not understand everything. I'm reading through the book of Leviticus still. I got stuck in Leviticus. How many are still in Leviticus? Anybody? Did you get through it, Brother Fred? You got through Leviticus almost? Oh, amen. Okay. And I thought I needed to catch up in my Old Testament. So as I was driving on our trip, I put my little ear thing in and listened to the Bible. And I got through, I got halfway through Leviticus and, you know, and I hit the thing up, you know. My wife said, what's going on? Are you awake? I said, yeah, I'm awake. You know, I got it. Some things I don't understand. You know, the latchets, and then you got the hooks and the latchets, and then you got the things that go around. And I'm going, what in the world are they talking about? But more seriously, we know. Paul says, listen, we're going through a lot of things right now, and we're often confused. But know this, we're not in despair. Now, despair is giving up, throwing your hands up in the air. Despair. I quit. I don't get it. I've talked to more Christians that because of a loss in the family or a tragic event, not downplaying that at all, or a broken marriage or a wayward child, they threw their hands up on God. I'm done. I quit. Friends, don't do that. We're perplexed, but not in despair. These people were confused. These women were confused. What is happening? Where's his body? In fact, you know, in another gospel account, is the woman stood outside the tomb and Jesus approached her from behind. He said, woman, why weepest thou? She, assuming him to be the gardener, said, sir, where have you taken his body? Just tell us where. We'll take his body. We'll get it out of here. And he calls her name out. And she immediately knows it's Jesus. And he says, don't touch me yet. I'm not glorified yet, and all of that. We see here that although perplexed, although confused at times, they continue to inquire. They bowed down their faces to the earth and they listened to what the angels had to say to them. And on we could go. So think about it. Are you preparing for the wrong thing? Are you preparing for the right thing? And secondly, are you perplexed? Don't get in despair. Keep focused. Keep going. Paul, on several occasions, was perplexed. Timothy was perplexed at times. In fact, he was sent to the city of Ephesus to be the pastor of the church there. And he was very confused because he endured a lot of heartache and grief there at the church. They were opposed to him. They didn't like him. And Paul writes to him in 2 Timothy, he says, Timothy, I'm aware of your tears. I know you've been weeping. I know the heartache of that ministry. And I want to encourage you to be faithful. Today is St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? How many got their green on? Everybody? Okay. In school, how many got pinched? I hated that. They come up and pinch you. Get off me. Don't touch me, you know. If you study St. Patrick, he is not a Catholic. You do a little research on him. I like St. Patrick. He was actually, he believed very, very closely to what we believe as Protestants, as Baptist Protestants. Some believe he was actually a part of the Baptist movement, the Anabaptists during the time. And I like that. He went, if you read the story, pretty fascinating. He was kidnapped from Britain as a 16-year-old boy, kidnapped, taken over to Ireland, and used as a slave in Ireland for several years. He was a slave, finally escaped for his life, went back home to Britain, and then God got a hold of his heart, and guess where he sent him? Sent him back to Ireland to minister to the people that kidnapped him. Isn't that crazy? But the Catholic Church took over and made him a saint and took his name. And they say St. Patrick's Day is besides Super Bowl Sunday and spring break, it is the biggest day of the year people get drunk. Isn't that sad? I mean, hammered drunk on St. Patrick's Day. Just foul. When it should be a day of celebration. That man went to Ireland and ministered to the people, and he did such a good job at reaching the people with the gospel. He reached so many people with the gospel. By the way, the people of Ireland were pagan people, worshiping idols. He did such a good job, they made a whole monument about him. And today we celebrate him still. Very fascinating. You got to study it. But I thought about that. Do you think he was perplexed? Do you think he was confused? Yeah. He went back home. I finally made it home. Mom and Dad, I'm back. And the Lord got a hold of him. Dad, mom, sister, brother, God's calling me to ministry. Okay, son, where are you going to go? I think I'm going to go back to Ireland. Are you nuts? You crazy? I'm going to go back. He says, I trust the Lord. I trust what he is. Now let's keep going, and I must conclude here. I've got one more. Let's wrap it up. Notice verse 9. And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. Now remember, there was 11 apostles left. Okay, remember Judas had killed himself. And to all the rest. Now there was other people as well in the group. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words, notice this, their words seemed to them as the truth of the living God. Does it say that? And their words seemed to them as what? Idle tales. And they believed him not. They believed him not. Then arose Peter. Now Peter, remember, he represents the Christian who is a doubtful Christian, yet restored Christian. We'll look at that later. And ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, remember what Peter says later on. The ladies come to the apostles and the other people that are in that small room. Remember, they're hiding at this point. They're hiding for fear of being persecuted because they're associated with Jesus. Secondly, they did not believe all that Jesus. They didn't know he was, they thought he was dead. If they killed Jesus, they're going to come after us. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They thought he was killed and over with. They're hiding in the room and the ladies come and say, hey guys, you're not going to believe it. Well, we got to the tomb and men, listen, he's not there. They stole his body. No, two angels were there and they told us what happened. And they said, no, fear not. Remember his words. He's not here, but he's risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Yeah, right. This is no time to joke around. This is a serious time. And it, to them, it was idle tales. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, very fascinating. Do you remember what Peter says? I don't either, but let me quote it. He says, when we write unto you, Peter now is an older man, a pastor of a church. He's an older man speaking to a group of believers in 1 and 2 Peter. He says, as we write unto you, as we speak unto you, we are not giving you cunningly devised fables when we tell you of all that the Lord did. Wonder where he got that from. Idle tales, fables, fantasy, made up stories. Now we're accused, the world accuses us as Christians of believing fantasy, believing fairy tales. The Bible's good, Jesus was a good teacher, but he was no Messiah. Okay, Jesus didn't actually die, he just fainted on the cross, they put him in the grave, he woke up. Although he lost all of his blood out of his body, he woke up and he was fine. These are just blatant lies. They accuse us of believing fantasies and fairy tales. Peter says, listen, I want to remind you that I do not believe in fantasy. This is not cunningly devised fables to deceive you as a church. Remember, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus gave us what he validated all that he said by this. Now think about it. They were perplexed. And when you go and tell other people about what God has done for you, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go, that's a funny, nice little story. God's changed my life. He's done so much for me. Oh, that's nice. That's good for you, son. Good for you. You can believe what you want to believe. Go ahead and if that's your crutch, one person said that. If that's your crutch, then go ahead. If that's what you need to get through life, you go ahead. You believe in that. Friends, it's not a cunningly devised fable. It's not an idle tale. Notice they believed him not. And Peter says, I've got to go see for myself. I got to go. I've got to see what God is doing. I'm going to conclude right there this morning for sake of time, and we'll pick this up next week as we continue down the road to the resurrection. But think about it now. Are you doubtful today? Are you doubtful? There's perplexity in life and often confused. Do you know what God has for your life? Number one, let me say this. We're not guaranteed another week. We're started another week today, first day of the week. But we're not guaranteed another week, are we? Sadly, it could be the last week or days of some people. Now, Lord willing, not, but we're not guaranteed. Are you prepared for that day? Are you saved? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you following the Lord? It's hard to do, I know, but you can do it. Now, think about today, and I'll stop. Are you preparing for the right thing? You must work and make money. You must provide for your family. You must survive. You got to do all the things that you got to do. But are you prepared for that day? Are you preparing for the right thing? These people were confused. Can you imagine the tragedy that was running through their hearts and minds to know that Jesus had just been crucified, killed? He's gone. Everything he preached, everything he taught, it's gone. We have nothing to do. I don't know what to do. They're in a little room hiding. And Jesus has to come to them physically and say, listen, guys, it's me. Remember, I told you. It's a sad day in the Christian life when the Christian closes this book at home. They don't follow it. They don't read it. They don't study it. And therefore, they're confused and perplexed. And perplexity always leads to despair. And it leads to discouragement. And although you're saved and claim to be a Christian, you're in despair. You're confused. You're discouraged. You're depressed. You have anxiety, depression. You have all the things. If you know this book, you won't be. If you know what the Bible says, you don't have to have two angels come and say, now remember, remember. No, we know. We know. Friends, today as we look forward to the resurrection day coming up here soon, I want you to look forward to it and think about all the ramifications of that resurrection. Because Jesus is alive today, we have salvation in Him. We have validation. And God says that you can serve, you can walk, you can live according to this word because it's legitimate. Everything Jesus promised is true. Every principle He gave, we can follow. Why? Because of who He is. Because of who He is. Again, today I'll close there. We'll follow next week, and I want to look at this not funny story, but incredible story that follows those two individuals walking down the road to Emmaus. And Jesus happens to just walk up beside them. How would you like that? How'd you like Jesus to be here with us today? I hope He is. We pray all week, Lord, meet with us. Lord, be with us. Do you know Jesus just wants us to just invite Him in? That's what He said to the church at Laodicea. He says, I'm knocking at the door. Just let me in. Come on in, Lord, meet with us. I mean, have a cup of coffee with us. Sit with us. Talk with us. Show us what to do. And Jesus comes up beside those two people and walks with them and says, what are you all talking about? You never been here? You didn't know what just happened the last couple of days? Let me tell you about what happened. And this man, and they go on and say, this man we thought was the Messiah and promised us that He would take over. He didn't. They killed Him. He wasn't who He said He was. And Jesus said, oh, really? Really? Are you perplexed today? You going through a trial or a season of confusion? Run to the Word. Come back to the Word. I know it sounds cliche. Come to the Word. Come and spend time in prayer. The Bible is when God is speaking to you. Prayer is when you're speaking back to God. It's called a relationship. And when there's no communication in a relationship, it crumbles and fails and deteriorates, right? It's key. Come back to the book. Are you prepared for the right thing? Is your focus on God, on Christ, on serving Him, on being focused on Him? Is your job taking over that relationship? Is it consuming you? Maybe you need to take a step back from that. It's screwing you up. Pardon my language. It's messing up your family. Take a step back from that. You'll survive. Take a step back. What is it in your life that's hindering you from following the Lord? What's hindering you in your marriage? What is it? There's something there. Spending time together in the book, easy to say, hard to do. Praying together, easy to say, hard to do. But until you take the step of faith and say, God, I'll do it Your way and not my way, you won't see God work. Well, we've gotten through this before. We'll get through it again. No, it was miserable. Get back to what God said to do. It's simple as that, isn't it? Just do what He says to do. Follow Him. And if they would have followed the Word of God, not one person stood up and said, hey, Peter, James, and John, Mary, and Martha, don't worry. Remember what He said? Remember? As we were sitting around the campfire, He said, don't worry. Everything's okay. They're going to kill me, but I'll rise again. Not one person. How many churches are like that today? Not one person. We're ignorant of the Word. Ignorant of the Word. And I believe when Jesus returns, there'll be a lot of confused people and a lot of confused Christians as well. All right? Amen. Well, I'm thankful that you're here today, braving the weather and coming out, making church a priority. By the way, by putting church first in your week, God will bless you because of it. Don't forget that. People kind of put church aside. It's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. The Bible says to the New Testament church in Hebrews 10:25, He says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's what the church is. The ecclesia is the called out assembly of the believers where we assemble together. He says, in the latter days, don't forsake that assembling. Come together. I'm grateful that you are here today. Pray for those that couldn't be here due to the weather or due to sickness. Thank you, some of you that are viewing us online right now. Thank you for tuning in. I want to pray for you this week. Lord willing, we'll be able to come back on Wednesday. Remember Ms. Dawn and Brother Neil in your prayers this week, if you will, as well. Okay? All right. Well, would you stand with me, if you will, please? And we'll have just a few verses of invitation. Ms. Amber will play for us just a few verses. Again, I ask you each week, if you would just take a few minutes there where you are and just ask the Lord, however He's spoken to your heart today, to help you to do what He's put upon your heart, how He's spoken to you. And again, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I would love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized or you'd like to join our church, please don't hesitate to make those decisions either. As the music plays this morning, would you?